Dear ones, for this evening's reading and our meditation, I'd like to turn to the prophet Daniel, chapter number 4. I'd like to begin with verse number 28 to the end. The prophet Daniel, chapter number 4, from verse 28 to the end. In this chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that no one could interpret except for Daniel. Daniel interprets it to him, and this is now the fulfillment of that dream. Verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the kingdom, the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and in his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. May God bless our reading. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the portion of scripture that we have before us that was read is an event that has taken place, 25, 27 centuries ago. But it is as relevant as it was for the most powerful man in the universe, in the planet. Nebuchadnezzar was powerful. What he says goes. He conquered the world. He subjected the Jewish nation to slavery. And he, can you imagine a powerful man is, when he speaks, his subjects listen to him and do everything he says. And there's three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who would not listen to him. When he told them that they are to bow before his gods with a small g. These are men that he took into captivity, that he subdued, and they won't listen to him. The rage that filled him at that moment, because that's the instant reaction of a man with extreme power When you know what you say goes and someone says no. What? How dare you say no? An immediate, and that's exactly what pride is. He reacts with rage. How dare someone say no to him? Light that fire. Get it hotter. So this man is a man that is extremely proud. The Bible tells us that. Extremely powerful. And God, in his grace, is going to teach this man that he is just a man. He had to make him into like a beast, like an animal, in order for him to realize that he's nothing. He's just a man. And I came to this chapter, I thought about it a lot this week, because last Sunday morning, after the service, the brother led us in prayer, and much like the prayer this evening, actually some of the same things were mentioned. God was extolled, God was praised, magnified, and recognition was made of who man is, that we're nothing, really. And the brother mentioned then, as Brother Andrew did now, he prayed, God, humble us. Humble us. Okay, do we know what God is, what we are asking of God when we ask him to humble us? Are we ready for a humbling? Are we ready to be humbled? Because when in the garden man fell, it was pride that caused him to fall, because he was turning away from a dependency upon God to a self-dependency upon himself. And that's what pride does. Pride puts away God as, I will now rely upon myself. I will do things. And so the dependency upon God is drawn away from and upon self. That's pride. Every man has that. Everyone has that. And God's business in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we know, is to save man. But in order to save man, he has to be humbled. Every man, in order to be saved, in order to receive the kingdom, has to be humbled. There's no other way. So God is in the business from Genesis to Revelation to humble you and me. And that is one of the hardest things for a man to receive, to accept, to change. And we ask God, humble us. Do we have any intention of being humbled? Because that's going to cause that's going to create a drastic change in our behavior, in our lives. I'm talking drastic. Look what it did to the king. The king went from majesty to a beast in the field. And until he tasted that bitter grass, he couldn't understand that his kingdom that he said that he created, really he didn't. Daniel told him, really, the only way that this judgment that is coming upon you, that you can turn away from it, is in verse 27, he says, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. There is a judgment that was placed upon this king, that is placed upon the world. And the only way you, my dear friend, can escape this judgment is to break off thy sins by righteousness, thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, through repentance. Through repentance, the judgment of God, which is righteous altogether, can be turned away. And that's what God is seeking to do today. So when we consider what pride is, we can see here that the king had a full year. 12 months had gone by since his dream was interpreted by Daniel. 12 months had gone by. It meant nothing to him. Much like the word of God today, judgment is spoken of. Those who are living in unbelief and an unchanged heart are being ruled by pride. And we're going to say, well, I'm not proud. You know, it's easy to recognize pride upon someone else, right? But it's hard upon ourselves. You know, whenever a man, we read it right here, the king, he says, he walks into the palace of his kingdom of Babylon. And he says, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? That's what pride is. Pride seeks to be recognized by others. And now, what do you and I do so that we can be recognized by others as successful? And then someone might say, well, I'm not successful. I'm a loser. I'm ugly. I'm not proud at all. And we'll hide ourselves from being seen even because of pride. It's still pride because I'm not able to appear as great as this person who man looks upon with greatness and God looks upon and abhors. So pride, every one of us has it in us. And only a drastic change that can take place solely by going to the cross of Christ can change us. Because the heart of man looks to be recognized. Man will spend more than he can afford and become a fool to obtain something so that you can say to him, wow, look what you did. Wow, that is so nice. Wow. It's a wow factor that and then you just feel good. That's pride. It takes you straight to hell. That's it. If that pride isn't broken within you, it leads you to hell. So are you proud? Am I proud? Look at the things that we do. Are we looking for recognition from somebody? Jesus says, even when you cast your alms, you know, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. But if you do it to be seen of men, you've received the praise. That's what pride does. It seeks praise. Because he says here, I built this by my power. So the dependency upon God is gone. It's me, my power. I did this. And for what? To praise God? No, for the honor of my majesty. So pride seeks to be praised. When we love the praise of men, we are proud. And we're on our way to hell. Because that's what the king did. The king was proud. God tells us in if I can remember, in Isaiah 2:11, it says, "The lofty looks of a man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted." You want to be exalted? You want to be honored? You want to be haughty? God says, "I'll bring that down. I'll bring you down, because He alone, He'll not share His glory with anybody." It says, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." He told that to the king. The king had a year to think about it, and he didn't change his ways until he was sent into the fields to eat grass. He lost his kingdom, the kingdom that he built by his power, not realizing, we just sang it in the hymn, the first verse, that God is in control of everything, directing everything. God is directing everything. Don't be afraid. God is in control. What was happening here during the time of the Babylonian captivity? The Jews could be afraid. Some were being killed. Some were being taken into slavery. But ultimately, the three men honored, exalted the name of God and refused. They didn't fear. Why? Because God was in control. If it meant their life, so be it. They even said it. God is able to save us, but if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. We will still not bow before your fake gods. We have one God that we serve. And so, so God is warning us, as he warned the king, if you're haughty, if you're proud, you will be brought low. Now, we can be brought low by the cross, or we can be brought low by the final judgment. But we will be brought low. And so the choice is ours. How will we be brought low? Because Jesus came. Okay, let's consider this. The Lord himself came and he humbled himself. Who did? The Lord. The one who spoke all things into existence. He humbled himself to the cross. And he lived a life of humility. And he showed you and he showed me a path of humility. So you and I are without excuse. We can't say that we didn't know. The question is, really, do I want to be brought low? Or do I want to appear as someone great? People have made wrecks of their lives trying to be recognized by others. They bought houses they couldn't afford, cars they couldn't afford, took vacations they couldn't afford, did all kinds of things they couldn't afford just to be put themselves on Facebook and social media for others to see and to praise them and say, "Wow, I wish I could do that." So whatever you do, whatever I do, we have to ask ourselves, why? You know, do you ever feel like, "I worked really hard. I worked hard. I did everything that was right. I invested. I did this. I did everything. I did things the right way. I deserve now whatever." That's pride. According to what we have read, that's pride. Because you're saying you did this by your own power when you had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with it. God gave everything to Nebuchadnezzar. He says that. All nations are brought under rule by God's decrees. All of them. Everyone. He looks across his vast empire and he feels good and he wants to be praised. Unless he's being praised by someone, unless someone sees it, it doesn't matter. So he wants his power to be made known that it's Nebuchadnezzar, the king that did all of this, it's him. Isn't that what a heart of man is? You know, Nebuchadnezzar isn't like out on an island by himself. This is the heart of every man who wants to be recognized. Look at me. Look at me. Instead of look at Christ. And so if I do things for you to look at me, you will take your eyes off of Christ, look at me, and then you're going to dream of being what I am. And so I'm causing you to sin through my own pride. And so we cause others to falter, to fall, to stumble. And God says that it's better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you cast into the deep than you offend one of my little ones. Jesus says, unless you humble yourself as a little child, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless we are humbled. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, humility. Humility. Without it, we go to hell. That's what the Bible says. God hates pride because you take your eyes off of him and you place it upon yourself. You do not rely upon him. You don't rely upon him. You rely upon yourself. You make the choices. You make the choices for yourself, forgetting that everything you have was given to you by God. There's a lot of fake humility. We do a lot of that. A lot of fake humility. We can act the part rather. We're all good actors and actresses when it comes to being humble. In their moments of pride, we act like we're humble. And it tells us here that when Nebuchadnezzar, 7 years, think about that, 7 years, the king lived like an animal. And again, to be reminded that he's just a man. You're nothing. I'm nothing. And that's when God can move in your heart and in my heart, when we recognize and know and become poor in spirit. Then God can change us. He can work with us. He can create in us a new man. But unless you're brought low, he can't work in you. It's not about the one who talks about God as being sovereign. It's about the one who actually lives as if God is sovereign. We all like to talk about God is sovereign, God is sovereign. But what effect does that have upon my own life, knowing that God is sovereign? And so it's when we recognize him as being sovereign, as the king did here, Nebuchadnezzar did here, when he says here, he says, "And I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." The king knew he walked in pride once he was humbled. So you and I prayed last Sunday, and we prayed right now. We prayed, "Lord, humble me." Are you ready? Are you ready to be humbled? I think about that. I thought about that a lot this week. It's going to change us. When we live, the relationships that we have with one another will change also. You know, I'm not going to get as angry at you when you perhaps say something that will make me feel a little bit lower than you, perhaps. Let's just say something and I get offended right away. No, why? Because it's an attack on my person. You're saying this to me. You know, who am I? But when you're humble, it rolls off of you like nothing. You can't be hurt in that way because you're humble. You don't react with anger. That's not in you because you've been humbled. And so God showed us a way of humility in His Son Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says, "Learn of me. Learn of me." Do we know Him? That's unheard of, that a king would be deposed for 7 years and return to the throne. That's unheard of. But God made it happen. When Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses, he says, at the end of the days, at the end of the 7 years, he says, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High." He realized it was God's grace that had brought him low and showed him a way. "And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." God is sovereign. Nebuchadnezzar sees that now, and he sings a song. He praises him and honors him and worships him. Do you and I do that? You can't. If there's pride in your heart, you cannot worship him. It doesn't work. How can you worship him when your dependency upon him is being pushed away and your dependence upon yourself is rising? He says, "All the inhabitants of the earth, himself included, in his glory days," he says, "are counted, are reputed as nothing." That's being broken and poor in spirit. I am nothing. Jesus says, "Blessed." Blessed is the poor in spirit. "And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing?" You can't ask him anything. It says none can stop what he intends to do. None can even ask him, what are you doing? He is a sovereign God. Does that humble you? Does it humble me to know that God is sovereign? That my life, my dependency, my breath, my heartbeat, everything I have is dependent upon Him. How great are you now? The Bible tells us that everything comes by time and chance. Not to the swift is the race. I know I've said that before. The fastest man on earth that he's known throughout the world may not be the fastest man at all. But he had an opportunity to show his speed. He was given some shoes, and he was given an opportunity. There could be a man out there that's never tested his speed. It could be faster than him, but he never had the time. Never was given a chance. It's time and chance. Everything. Not to the strong is the battle. So where's our greatness? What do we rely upon? Age comes, the strength of flesh weakens, the grave is in sight. Be great now. I have men that tell me all the time, I'd trade everything I have. One guy one time told me, I'd to be 18 again, I'd give everything I have, a very wealthy man. I'd give everything I have just to be 18 again. I'd give everything away. Just recently he told me, I'd do it just to be your age. He's 20 years older than me. He wants that 20 years. He knows he doesn't have it. Where's your greatness? Where's the pride? You're going to be brought low. And you're going to face the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, who showed you a path of humility that you rejected. And so, dear ones, it is my prayer that we all would come to this last verse. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth, all whose works are truth. All that he says is yea and amen, truth. And his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. It is my prayer, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, that every one of us would be humbled. But it is my prayer that we would look upon our own lives in light of the Word of God, in light of the Word, to see ourselves, to look at Christ, to learn of him, and to see myself and say, whoa, I'm not there. And to pray to God to help me. And if that doesn't work, may God do what he did to Nebuchadnezzar, to every one of us. Because all that matters in the end, all that matters in the end, is that God is honored and glorified by our submission unto him, and that our full dependency would go back upon him. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.
One of Jesus' parables he gives in Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You see, here's another example of what rock bottom looks like. Truly, Nebuchadnezzar hit rock bottom. Has anyone fallen from so high down to grazing grass as an animal that he oversaw? As king, he was ruler of all. He wasn't reduced to maybe a prince or someone in his court or even a servant or a serf or one of the common people or the servant of the common person, but he was reduced to livestock. Here, the prodigal son, the same. Reduced to eating what livestock eats. You know, the difference, though, I would say the similarity between the two is what happened at that rock bottom. I spent a lot of time in Seattle last summer. And if you spend time in a pretty liberal city, walk the streets, you'll see rock bottom. You'll see people walking like zombies. You'll see addiction and all sorts of sin that God never intended man to take part in. And all of them will say, how did I get here? How did I get here? I never thought that this would be my destination. Is this rock bottom? But Nebuchadnezzar realized in his rock bottom that it was God working to change him. The prodigal son, when all of his money has went, all of his friends were gone, realized that he had nowhere else to turn but to God. You know, I think about some of the warnings that they may have received. But Louis read about in this account how Nebuchadnezzar had a warning. The prodigal son, no doubt, had a warning. Imagine your son coming to you asking for his inheritance while you're still alive, with tears in his eyes asking him, "Why? Why, my boy?" That's the warning. My friend outside of Christ, don't get to rock bottom. It may be so deep that you may never come out. Use today's message as a warning and turn to the one who has chosen you, who knew you, who knows you better than even your parents or even than you know yourself. Because as Brother Louis said, in the end, all of this praise, all of this gold, brick, mortar, wood, the things that we drive, houses that we live in, it won't matter. But the only thing that will matter is when we see our Savior face to face. And we see the one who first loved us. And that we will be with him in everlasting joy and peace forevermore. May the Lord bless his words this day. Amen.